The number of patients in hospital with COVID-19 stands this lunchtime at 448. That's a reduction of 16 on the same time yesterday, but 86 of those patients are in intensive care. As we've been hearing, the number of COVID-19 outbreaks increased last week, including in workplaces and in schools. Well, the government has been told this lunchtime that rapid antigen tests should be used as an additional tool in response to the ongoing pandemic. That's the conclusion of the expert advisory group, which was looking at rapid testing and which has just published its interim report. The group was chaired by Professor Mary Horgan, consultant in infectious diseases at Cork University Hospital, and she joins us on the line now. A very good afternoon to you, Professor Horgan, and thanks for talking to us.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Now, it seems we've been hearing about these antigen tests, the rapid antigen tests, for quite some time in the course of this pandemic. We know that a number of pilot schemes were rolled out. They were used, for example, in meat factory settings at an early stage in the pandemic. But what are you saying today to the government about the more widespread rollout of these tests as a way of combating the pandemic?
So as you will have heard from the Chief Medical Officer, we're in a very fluid situation at the moment, and the role of rapid antigen testing really is as an additional tool and not a substitution for, as he says, getting back to the basics, doing the basic things, getting vaccinated as required. So it's an additional rather than a substitution for what we're doing now. And I suppose the role of the antigen test is really to identify people who are infectious and potentially can spread it to others. So by doing the rapid test, if it's positive, you can try to break that chain of transmission, particularly as the government are trying to safely and sustainably open our economy, our society. It would be seen as an additional tool.
So is that where they're particularly useful and potentially effective in picking up somebody who's asymptomatic, they don't have any symptoms, but at a point in their infection where they are infective, where they can pass on the virus?
That's exactly it, and that's always been the challenge with SARS-CoV-2, which causes COVID. About 40%, at least 40% of people who have the infection don't even know they have it. So this is a measure to, I suppose simply and easily, because you can do it yourself at home, identify those people who are infectious, who may bring it into the workplace, and may bring it into, for instance, a nursing home. If we can identify those before they do that activity, then that potentially can break the transmission.
So the kind of settings there where we might see them becoming more common in the months ahead, you've mentioned nursing homes, workplaces. What about for people to have access to particular venues, to events?
Yes, and that's the work the group has been doing. We took the opportunity in August and September to work hard on really background preparedness so that the population knows what they are, when to use them, when not to use them, and have developed a lot of those tools that are really for operational readiness in the event that you need to upscale them or downscale them as they see fit, and link it in with the current test and trace system. And Niamh O'Byrne, who's part of the group, and her team have worked on that portal. So if you do a positive antigen test and this is available to the public, or if you do a test and you can upload the results of that if it's positive, and it links in directly with the PCR system. So I suppose, firstly, it's that ability to have the population prepared for it. That doesn't mean that we need to use it widespread, but there is the ability to do upscale it and downscale it as seen fit. And then in the background, we need to understand, the guidance on when to use it. And how do we do this? Well, the group have also been working on, I suppose, real-time synthesis, what we call synthesis, or looking at the scientific evidence on the appropriate use in various environments. And that's work Professor Paddy Mallon within the group is working working on that particular one, and we have been working with the Canadian Institute of Health Research to develop risk assessment tool. So, for instance, if you know you wanted to carry out, we'll say, a trade fair mm-hmm. or a conference, depending on the profile of the people that attended, the prevalence of the infection, which is very, very dynamic, guidance could be given on, well, you don't need to use the test at all, or you may need to do it just before you go to the event.
We heard from the government as part of its plan announced earlier this week for moving ahead with at least some of the relaxation of restrictions, that part of that would be a plan to send rapid antigen tests, the kit, out to people in their homes who are close contacts of a confirmed case. Is that something that could happen fairly quickly and effectively and confidently? Could it be deployed?
Absolutely, and that's part of the work we've been doing in the background. So when the decision was made by NEFA to support the use of rapid testing in that scenario, a huge amount of the work has been done in the background. So the hope is that will be up and running next week.
And what then about its more widespread application? I mean, we've mentioned nursing homes. There are, I think, a number of pilot schemes, is that right, underway? A number of homes have been using tests. Should that become standard for access to a care setting like that?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously that's a very high risk setting where you've got residents at risk. So there has been a number of nursing homes throughout the country in which they've been used with great success. And it is an area, given the changing numbers, where it could potentially be expanded. And in those instances, it's more serial testing. So typically you would do it twice a week, like on a Monday and Thursday, with good, and the big benefits are obviously protecting the vulnerable, but ensuring that people that work in the nursing homes don't have to leave all the time because they're close contacts. Because we do need the healthcare staff who are working on the front lines, who are working in healthcare settings, looking after our older population, to be able to work safely there.
And Professor Horgan, the return to the workplace, the phased return to the workplace, could that be accelerated through the autumn and winter with the use of antigen tests?
It potentially could, and many workplaces are using the tests already, and I think the educational material that has been developed and the link into the HSE portal to report these tests really support all of that. I think what's really important is that we're ready to deploy the appropriate test and making sure it's the right test at the right time for the right reason. But yes, there's a potential use, and it is all about being prepared. That preparedness to use them is absolutely essential, and it's part of our way forward, the appropriate use of antigen testing.
The appropriate use we've been talking about, settings and situations where it's not appropriate. We had a GP from Waterford telling us on the programme yesterday that he had come across cases where parents of children who showed COVID-like symptoms were having an antigen test. The test proved negative and the children were being sent back to school. What would you say about that?
It needs to be really clear to the listener that they should not be used in symptomatic cases. If you've got symptoms, you need to get a PCR test. These are for use at the present time for asymptomatic, but not for symptomatic use in anybody. And the report clearly states that the test of choice for that is the PCR test. They're widely available. There's a fantastic test and trace system within our HSE that have been doing this for quite a period of time. If you have symptoms, get a PCR test.
Right. But from what you've been saying about how the rapid tests could be used, effectively, can we expect that to become part of almost our daily lives now in the months ahead?
They potentially could. I think what we all need to do is understand how to do a test and when to do a test and when not to do a test, so that we have that preparedness. And I suppose the job after that is then a guidance on the appropriate use in the appropriate environment, so we can keep our society and economy open. I mean, thankfully, we've had a steady, sustainable opening of it, and it will go ahead further tomorrow, which is really good news. But again, reiterating what the Chief Medical Officer said, don't forget the basics, the mask, the hand hygiene, and get vaccinated, get a booster as they are rolled out.
Professor Mary Horgan, Chair of the Expert Advisory Group on Rapid Antigen Tests, thank you for that.